In our series of Second Chance, we're talking about different stories of a resurrection in the Scripture and how it leads us up to next week, obviously, as we preach of the resurrection of Jesus. Today, I want to read a story from the Gospel of Luke, and the message is entitled Hopeful Graveyards. You know, graveyards are never a place of hope or laughter or necessarily joy as we think of them, but when Jesus shows up, He can take a graveyard and turn it into hope, thus hopeful graveyards. What I want to do is I want to read this story, and then I want to set it up. I want to give context to the story, and then I want to pull two thoughts that I see out of the story that I believe apply to our lives right now as we live here in modern day. And I believe it's going to speak to you. I know it speaks to me, and I want to just bless you with this today. So in Luke chapter 7, if you have your Bibles, please turn to Luke chapter 7, verses 11 through 15. If not, just follow me on the screen. But the scripture says, soon afterward, Jesus went with his disciples to the village of Nain, and a large crowd followed him. A funeral procession was coming out as he approached the village gate. The young man who had died was a widow's only son, and a large crowd from the village was with her. When the Lord saw her, notice the language, his heart overflowed with compassion. Don't cry, he said. Then he walked over to the coffin and touched it, and the bearers stopped. Young man, he said, I tell you, get up. And the dead boy sat up and began to talk. And I love this line. And Jesus gave him back to his mother. Now, if I was there that day and I didn't believe, after that, I would have been like, you it, I believe in you now. How about you, right? Think about the context of this story just for a moment, please. We know in Jewish history from the Old Testament that when families had the resources, that family members were buried together in a cave or on a plot of ground. We see that with Abraham. We see it with different people in Scripture. So we know by Jewish custom, we don't know the money scenario, and I'm not going to speculate, but we know by Jewish custom that wherever they were going, whatever graveyard, if it was a graveyard or a cave, chances are it's where her dead husband was already buried. So I want you to think about this. This woman has already lost the love of her life, her husband. Now she's lost her only son. And so they're carrying him. And as Jewish custom, they would have people come and be like mourners with those that had the loss. So they had this group of people, and they're going to the graveyard that her husband is already in, and now she's going to bury her only son. It doesn't matter what age or century we live. If you've experienced grief, we can process that this woman was devastated. This woman, I'm sure, was beside herself, and I'm sure was overwhelmed in grief and a variety of emotions. And what's amazing about Jesus, who I believe got his directions from the Father, he went there on purpose to the village of Nain. Of course, she didn't know that, but as she's coming out, as she's going to this graveyard, Jesus meets her at her greatest moment, or I would say her greatest need, in the moment of her greatest need, the place of her biggest just devastation. Jesus comes to that point and changes everything and gives her a hopeful graveyard in the place of no hope at all. You know, for us today, I think this is important, and this sounds simple, but we got to remind ourselves, with Jesus, it's never too late. I'm going to say that one more time. With Jesus, it's never too late. With Jesus, it's never too late. With Jesus, it's never too late. When I was growing up, my mom used to play different types of music, and I love gospel music. And I remember an artist, and she would sing, He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. He may not come when you want Him, but He'll be there right on time. He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. How many believe He's an on-time God today? And I think sometimes in life, we go through ups and downs, different severity levels, of course, and we lose sight of the simple phrase, it's never too late with Jesus, because maybe we think it is. But Jesus came in her greatest moment of need, and he changed everything. And I'm here to tell you, Jesus is coming to our lives. He's here in this room through the Holy Spirit and online, and he's coming to our lives. He knows us. He's moving to us. He's not leaving us out to dry. Jesus is doing something for us. When we call on the Lord, he will answer our prayers. I'm going to say it one more time. It's never too late with Jesus. No marriage, no sickness, no mental, emotional, no matter what. Furthermore, what's interesting about this story is we see clearly that this woman was from the village of Nain. In this language, the word Nain means beauty. Think about that for a moment. In this moment, there was nothing beautiful. There was a woman that already lost her husband. Now she lost her only son. There's nothing beautiful about that. It's the exact opposite. We could even say it was ugly. Ugly in the sense of ugly in the loss in what she felt. Ugly in the sense of the pain in her heart. Ugly in the sense of the grief and the overwhelming sense of her family forever being different. That's not beautiful, that's ugly. What's amazing, though, is the Bible says in Isaiah 61 that God gives beauty for our ashes. She was surrounded in ashes. She's walking to the graveyard her husband's in. Now she's bringing her only child or her only son. This is nothing beautiful. I mean, this is all ugly. There's ashes. And yet Jesus has the power to give beauty for our ashes. The Bible says he beautifies the meek with salvation and causes his light to shine on their countenance. You know, when you come to Jesus, he'll make you more handsome and more pretty. Come on, somebody. So ladies, keep on praying for your man. And when he gets Jesus, you say, woo, okay, come on, Lord, thank you. And you keep on praying for your wife or your girlfriend. God's going to make it. Anyways, keep going. But God can take what's ugly and he can make it beautiful. He makes all things beautiful in his time. And this ugly moment of loss, life, all that, Jesus comes, and even the village she's from, meaning beauty, Jesus comes and fulfills the meaning of her hometown and gives her beauty in the midst of ugly. You know, for you and I today, before I go on here, if we're honest in this room and online, all of us have thoughts about ourselves that we think are ugly. We think possibly our past is ugly. Our secrets are ugly. Our thoughts are ugly. Our addiction is ugly. Maybe we feel we are ugly. Maybe aspects of our marriage we say are ugly. Different aspects of our family we would categorize for whatever reason as ugly. And yet Jesus comes and he can beautify what we think is ugly or what others think is ugly. Jesus can come, and we're not from Nain, but he can still beautify our lives with the grace and the power that he has. And so many times you and I think of, things about ourselves that are degrading. We think ourselves that, we don't measure up this part of our life, that part of our life. And the truth is, where there's a limp, where there's an issue, where there's a struggle, that's the area that Jesus can do his greatest work and beautify our lives and bring us to a place that we never dreamed, because it's the God of heaven that promotes a life. For example, let me tell you an inspirational story. A young lady was in church today. I remember first meeting her in our old location years ago, probably 15 years, years ago, maybe more, at a prayer and worship night. And she was struggling, and she had a lot of different things going on in her life. And she, rededicated her life to Jesus. But as we got to know this young woman, she was, as a child, they discovered she has dyslexia. She had dyslexia, and she struggled in school. Teachers, didn't believe in her. Some of her family didn't believe in her. She struggled mightily. She had a lot of different things going on. And by the time she graduated from the 12th grade, she had a fifth grade reading level. And she had all these things happening to her. on the inside. I remember meeting her that first time, as I mentioned, and she began to share all the things she had, feelings about herself, struggles she had, this and that, all the stuff, and it was ugly. Now, she didn't say it was ugly, but other people, her teachers, other people would say, well, that's ugly. She's not going to make it. In fact, people told her, you're never going to make anything in this life. She went to school at the college and struggled, but she graduated. In the process of time, this young woman gave her life more and more to Jesus. And there was ups and downs in her walk and different leaders helping her through different things. And today, she's married and has a beautiful baby boy. Furthermore, who teachers said would never be anybody, and who people said this learning disability and all this ugly, you know, part of her, she is now a business owner. She is a business owner of helping children that have special needs. Not only is her business thriving, it's exploding to 3 locations where she is serving people and giving back and doing what God can do. Come on, this is what God can do in our life. What's ugly, He can make beautiful. This woman, and again, we're not from Nain, I'm not suggesting that. But still, the principle is true. He gives beauty for our ashes. He gives beauty for the ugly parts of our life. And the key is, can we give this stuff to Jesus? Because notice the 2 thoughts I really see in this story. In verse 13, when the Lord saw this mother, the Bible says His heart overflowed with compassion. Notice the language of the New Living Translation that I'm using. His heart overflowed with compassion. Do you know one of the definitions of compassion? Please lean in on this, because I want you to catch this and get a picture of this for your life and for mine, and really for the whole world. One of the definitions for compassion is pity or concern. Pity or concern for the suffering and misfortune of others. Do you know in Exodus chapter 34, verse 6, when God first revealed His name to any human, which was Moses, by the way, the first thing God says about His name, I am Yahweh, then He says this, I am the God of compassion. Think about all the quirks, issues we have individually. All the ups and the downs we have in one day, 1 hour, 1 conversation, 1 minute. And God has compassion for you and for me. Let's go a little bit deeper. Think about your suffering. Think about the areas of your misfortune. A marriage that didn't work. A business venture failed. A school said no. Corporation said no. Different things didn't work. Athletic dreams, business dreams, romantic dreams, whatever, did not work. Misfortune. I want you to catch this. God has great compassion for our suffering and our misfortune. Notice it moved Him to do something about this woman's predicament. He didn't just walk by and say, I love you and let's keep it moving. He stopped and was engaged in her circumstance. And Jesus is not just walking by us saying, well, you know, I love you and I'll see you soon in heaven. He's stopping at our home. He's engaging with compassion in the suffering and the misfortune of our life. Furthermore, I want to say this. This is just flat out truth. God is the good guy. The devil's the bad guy. God is the good guy. The devil's the bad guy. Jesus has compassion for our suffering and misfortune because He has the power to heal and to do something about our suffering and misfortune. He doesn't cause that. We're in a fallen world. The Bible says that Satan is the god of this world. And we know that the Bible says in Acts 10, Jesus went about doing good, who was anointed by God, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed by the devil. Jesus went about helping people in their suffering and their misfortune. Now, we know that as we serve Jesus, we're going to have tests and trials. And we know our brothers and sisters around the world today, our freedom in America is beyond what we can understand because there's people in other countries that are giving their life for Jesus. We know that giving our life to Jesus has this sense of sacrifice. And there is at times suffering in our faith and standing up for what we believe and not bowing our knee. But I will say this to the end of my life. Jesus is the remedy for our suffering and misfortune. He's not the author of it. And he is not walking on the earth on our paved roads, but he is here in the Holy Spirit, and he's still going about doing good, healing all that are oppressed of the enemy, oppressed in our mind, oppressed in our body, oppressed in our thoughts, oppressed in our relationships. Jesus has compassion just like he did for this woman. So hear me, Jesus knows you, Jesus sees you, Jesus understands you. Think about that. Jesus understands us. Sometimes we don't understand ourselves or our spouse. Can I get an amen? God understands all the ins and outs of our life, and he has compassion. Not judgment, compassion. Not wrath, compassion. Not hate, compassion. Not resistance, compassion, compassion, compassion. And he's moving towards your suffering and your misfortune. What if every Christ follower in the world would just exemplify just a fingertip of that compassion, and you and I would have this concern for others' suffering and misfortune? Oh, what a powerful thing that would be. Because God is so amazing. His mercy is new every morning. His long suffering is given to us. His kindness is shown to us. His unconditional love is freely given. Whatever you're suffering with today, whatever you've come from today, if it's economics or family or racial, whether it's gender-based, whether, you know, it's just, you know, maybe you're from a different country or from our country, maybe who knows where you've come from. All of us have a story, but listen to me, God knows your story. And he knows every tear, he knows every pain, and he is concerned of your suffering and misfortune. And furthermore, he has the power. He's anointed by God the Father to do something about it. His name is far above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I don't care what name it is. Jesus is greater and bigger and better and badder and gooder. All that good verbiage. He's all that in a bag of chips and in a diet Sprite, but no calories. Amen, I feel good. Or maybe I'm getting hungry, I don't know. But God's still on the throne. The next one I see, and then I'll close. The next thing I see in this story is that not only did he have great compassion, but then he did something about the compassion. Can you imagine telling someone don't cry at their child's funeral? But then he goes over and he touches the coffin. The bearers stop. He doesn't touch the boy. He just says, get up. The boy gets up and starts talking. And I love this line. He gives the boy back to his mother. Can you imagine that moment? We know it's a coffin. I want you just to lean in just a little bit longer here. We know it's a coffin. Just bear with me. I understand it. But that coffin also has the shape of a box, a rectangle box. When I was studying this, what I was excited about is what the Lord helped me understand is Jesus touched the box that was carrying this boy to his grave. He touched the box that was carrying this boy to his resting place. There was no getting up until the resurrection at the end. This was it. He touched the box that was representing the loss of this woman and her family. He touched the box that was taking this boy to the family graveyard. And yet when Jesus touched it, something happened. Then he touched, then he spoke, and the boy got up. If his name was Jack, he was Jack out of the box. Come on, somebody. Amen. His name probably wasn't Jack, to be honest with you, but, you know, sounds good. Isn't it? That's a good joke. Okay. And he got out. And I want you to think about the miracle that was. I'm sure they let the coffin down, or I don't know what they did. They may have dropped it after the boy got up. But whoo, dropped it. I don't know what happened. The Bible doesn't tell us. But we know, I can just picture when the, the line Jesus gave the boy back. I can just picture Jesus maybe taking him by the hand or something and just saying, here you go, mother, here's your son. Now, what's amazing for us right now in 2021 is that all of us, in a similar sense, face our own boxes too. And we face them over and over again, probably on different subjects, maybe the same subject, trying to confine us in a box. For example, listen to a few of these ways or things that can be in a box. Maybe today in this room and online, by the sheer number of people in this room and online, there's no question that some of these are true. There's some today, your marriage is in a box going to a graveyard. Your parenting relationship to your children or your children to you is in a box, and for whatever reason, it's not going to a place of life. Could be your relationships in general, same patterns, same cycles, over and over again, in a box, not going to life, going to a graveyard. Could be today our thoughts, negative, cynic, just being a cynic and skeptic, doubting, dismissive of people, leaning to the negative about ourselves and everything and everyone all the time, in a box, going to a graveyard. Could be our dreams today, in a box of disappointment, in a box of anger, in a box of, God, you know, you didn't do that, you know, why didn't you help me, in a box of letting it go, in a box of giving up. Our dreams in a box going to a graveyard. For some of us today, as we see the landscape of our nation, maybe even the idea of different ethnicities coming together and healing the gaping wound that's in our country still, and how many times we make this argument political, but really Jesus said to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And I know that policies are in place and we need policies and laws to keep us safe, but on a spiritual standpoint, stay with me, maybe some of us feel like, or maybe even judicially, we think the racial crisis and what's happening is in a box going to a graveyard. Even 10 individuals in Colorado killed at a grocery store this past week, in a box going to a graveyard in terms of just being decent humans. Maybe we have shame and body image issues about ourselves, in a box, going to a graveyard. Our finances, in a box. Our faith, in a box. God can't do it outside of this box. He can't touch me outside of this box. He can't move outside of this style. He can't touch me outside of this set of doctrine. He can't touch me outside of this set of music or of preaching. If he does it, then I know it's not God. So it's just, you're really tight and confined. God has to do it this way. And if he doesn't do it this way, then it's not God. It's a box. There's right doctrine, and we'll teach you. There's right biblical doctrine, but there's also ideas of boxing God into this thought. If you don't do it my way, God, then it's not God. That's not God. Maybe it's our hope is in a box. And what's amazing is just like Jesus touched the box and spoke to the boy and he got up, what if today Jesus would touch our box? What if today you and I would let Jesus touch our box? And notice he didn't take a hammer and like destroy the box and just obliterate it. Then, you know, hold the kid out and say, now come to life. No, he just simply just touched. And then after he touched, he spoke. And then life came to a dead situation. What if today our marriage that's dying because of unforgiveness, grudges, missed opportunities, expectations not met, could receive the touch of Jesus, then the word that life to that marriage, second chance to that marriage, hope to that marriage. Could not Jesus give new beginnings to a marriage, to our finances, to our hope, to our dreams, to our faith, to our life? Could not God touch our box and speak to that thing and cause what was dead or dying to come to life and change the trajectory? What if our marriage was like Jack out of a box and all of a sudden it's a new beginning? Our finances are named Jack. Jack's coming out of the box. Our son's named Jack. He's coming out of the box. racial unity and healing on the spiritual side. I can't speak politically. On the spiritual side, what if white people and black people and Asian and Hispanics will get over politics and love one another, because all of us are created in the image and the likeness of God? What if our dreams were named Jack? Jack's getting out of the box again. What if all that is getting out of the box? Because in truth, all of us struggle at times with our lives being confined to limitation. My box, one of my biggest boxes in my life in closing, has been fear. I know what it's like to be paralyzed by fear. And maybe you have too. Maybe yours is depression or the things I mentioned or addiction or so many other things. Who knows? And I can feel, I know what it's like to feel that fear trying just to press me down and put me in a box and take me to a graveyard and just smash my destiny, smash my purpose, and just smash what God's called me to do. But I've also seen where Jesus has touched the box, spoken his word, "Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, help you, uphold you by my right hand. I am your shepherd, you shall not want. Greater is me and you than the enemy in the world." I know what it's like to feel the touch of Jesus, then to hear his word through the Bible and get out of the box and find faith in my spirit that God's way is better than the box way. God's way is better than the box way. God's way is better than the box. And recently, Summer and I were on a date. We have a date every week. And she and I were talking, and she said, "What's the scariest moment of your life?" And I just didn't even bat. I said, "No doubt when we were starting to build this building, millions of dollars, working with people in our city and our leaders in our church, talking to families to give." Every day, wanting to go back in the box because it was safe. And just stay in that building, stay in that building. We're good financially. We don't need to do this. We can go to 10 services. No, we couldn't, but you know. The kids team would have killed me. Responsible for people's livelihoods. Responsible to you, to God. I remember the tractor started digging up, and I was like, "Oh, God, what did I do?" Feeling that pressure at night, and I would lay on the couch, and I would play some worship. Just feel the goodness of God. Let him touch my box. He would speak to my box. I would get out of the box that day and say, "We can do it." The next day, I may find myself in the box again. He would touch my box, speak to my box, speak to me. I would get out and believe again. God's been a miracle. We built our building on time and grew amazing, and then COVID hit. And I know if we were in the old room, I know in my spirit I would have missed God. I would have missed leading you as God would have me to lead. Last year in COVID, our church grew 34%. People came to Jesus like never before. Our finances were the best they've ever been. And I don't say that because of me. I say that because of God. But in my box, I would have missed all that. I didn't know COVID was coming. I didn't know what was going on. And if I were to stay in my box and it's comfortable here and God, you're hurting me and I don't want to be, you know, stretched and you don't know my suffering and misfortune. No, I had to let God touch that thing, speak to me and get out of it to discover what God could do on the other side and turn this path of a graveyard in the sense of shutting down and staying safe. I had to say, no, I got to take a chance and live with hope and faith. And I've discovered that the graveyard I was going to in terms of purpose has turned into a hopeful graveyard. And I see what God has done. And I see what God is doing. But it always requires you and I getting out of the box. It requires you and I letting Jesus touch the thing that is limiting you and me. And when you and I do it, we can discover the new that God has. We can discover the compassion. We can discover all the things that God wants to do. And God is faithful and God is good. And there's no doubt in my mind, in closing, for the second or third time, and all of us in this room and online have boxes today. And I pray to God, none of us are ever carrying our child to a grave. Obviously, we're not here in a funeral procession. We're here at church. But spiritually, some of us can feel like our family, our marriage, our finance, our health, our mind, our hope, the decency of humanity is just like in a box going down. Maybe it is, but not when Jesus shows up. Because when Jesus comes and he touches it, things begin to shift. Then he speaks to it. And then things can begin to happen in your life. So in practicality today, if you don't know Jesus, if you've never received Jesus, or you have, but you've drifted far from God, and you know it, your heart, man, you're just far from him. Today is your day to come back to God, or for the very first time, call on Jesus. The Bible says, call on the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. Now, it's not the end, that's just the beginning. You know, the body of Christ, you know, being a part of the new believers group here at City, you know, going to next steps, being a part of the groups, you got to invest yourself to help you grow. But you can start today by calling on Jesus. Secondly, if you have received Jesus, what if you and I would just understand that our suffering and misfortune is not being dangled over us like a carrot for God to decide what he's going to do? No, God has compassion for our suffering and misfortune, and he wants to do something about it. Just like the young lady in our church, the leader in our church right now, who she has dyslexia. She did not have support. She was told, you're nothing. And God took her and saw the misfortune of her life and has turned it around as a mighty tool for him and to bless their family and so many other families. And then as we would let and remember that my suffering and misfortune is an opportunity for Jesus, but then hear me, I would let Jesus touch my box, fear, addiction, marriage, whatever it is, I let Jesus touch it. I let the Lord touch my box. And then what he says to me from his word, I choose to believe. And I get out. And I let God do what only he can do. One day at a time, one step at a time, one moment at a time. But as we do this, we're going to look back and say, look what the Lord done. He got me out. He helped me get free. And I can say God has done everything he said he would do. Come on, give this great Jesus a great hand clap. Let's stand to our feet. You online, even stand up in your bathrobe and give God a big praise. He deserves it today. Come on, give him a big hand clap today. He wants to move in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Please bow your head and bow your heart to heaven. You would say today, Pastor Dave, I need to receive Jesus, and or I need to come back to God. I'm far from God on Palm Sunday. I know it in my heart and my spirit. I got to come back and get right with God. As your heart is bowed, head is bowed, online and in the room, and you would say, that's me. Right now in this moment, I'm going to help you. I'm going to lead you to receiving Jesus for the first time or recommitting to him. If that's you right now, go ahead and raise your hand to heaven. I want to pray for you to receive Jesus. God bless you. God bless you. Good, 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 good. So many people. Thank you. So many. Thank you. God bless you today. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And then how many would say, you know, Pastor Dave, I've suffered and I have misfortune. I've had misfortune. And I need to be reminded that God has compassion for me. And furthermore, you would say, I know my box. I know what it is. And I need Jesus to touch it. I want to hear the word of the Lord speak to it. And I want to get out of that box. And I want to have a hopeful graveyard. I want God to do what he can do. If that's you today, go ahead and raise your hand. I want to pray for you all over this room and online today. Thank you. Hands up all over. Thank you so much. And say, Lord Jesus, my heart is yours. And I come to you. Please forgive me for anything that's wrong. I turn from that. I say yes to you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. And I choose to give you my suffering. I give you my misfortune. And I choose to let you touch my box. I receive your word. And I come alive in you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give him one more great hand clap of praise. I feel it. God's going to do it today. He did it for me. He's going to do it for you. Woo! Amen.